This is KNKX. Many West Coast cities have seen rising levels of visible, unsheltered homelessness over the past few years, and leaders in Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia, and other communities have declared this an emergency. But some observers saw the roots of the crisis begin decades ago. We're about to hear an excerpt from Outsiders, a podcast by KNKX and the Seattle Times Project Homeless Team. Episode 2 of Outsiders explores the origins of the modern-day struggles with unsheltered homelessness through the lens of one city, Olympia. KNKX's Will James starts this story in the late 1970s, when a newcomer to Olympia was getting her bearings.
Anna Schlecht arrived in Olympia with a backpack and a guitar, looking to start over. Back in the Midwest, her high school class had voted her most likely to go to prison. In Olympia, she started working in the city's maintenance department, fixing doors at the library, cementing latrines in the jail. Working around the city, she remembers seeing homelessness change and grow.
People would be camping in the woods, breaking into abandoned buildings to survive, or staying in one of the two shelters that we had. And homelessness suddenly appeared in a little tiny town called Olympia, Washington. And I remember thinking, this is just so bizarre.
All around the country, cities saw homelessness grow more visible in the 80s, and people started talking about it as a crisis. Some researchers call this the beginning of our modern era of homelessness. The reasons for that are complicated and sometimes disputed, but here's what was going on back then. One of the worst economic recessions in modern history hit in the early 80s. The country saw its highest unemployment rate since the Great Depression. You also had a more conservative mood sweeping the country. Under President Ronald Reagan, the federal government slashed programs for people in poverty, including help with housing. And in different ways, this was the tail end of an era when spaces for the country's poorest and most vulnerable people were already disappearing. 60 miles north of Olympia, Joe Martin watched this happen in his city, Seattle. He was a social worker in a strip of downtown called Skid Row.
You know, every logging camp has a skid road. You skid the logs down the road to the mill. It just so happened that the community of drifters, itinerant workers, hobos, prostitutes, gamblers, and a whole amalgam of folks sprung up in that area of old Seattle.
No one was skidding logs anymore by the time Joe was working on Skid Row in the late 70s, but a lot of that community was still there. Many rented rooms in rundown hotels. But in the late 70s, Joe watched the last remnants of Skid Row disappear. Developers turned many of those hotels into nicer and more expensive apartments. It wasn't just Seattle. All around the country around this time, cities were gentrifying and losing their versions of Skid Row. Joe says many of those displaced Skid Roaders, as he calls them, became the first wave of Seattle's modern homeless population. Then came the second wave. The Skid Roaders started telling Joe about this new population on Seattle streets.
People began noticing, the Skid Roaders began noticing that there was this new element. I'll always remember there was this one Skid Road guy who, in his own prosaic ways, asked me, he said, where are all these nuts coming from? See, they saw this group as very different from them, and they were.
States had been shutting down psychiatric hospitals, institutions where people with serious conditions like schizophrenia were sometimes neglected or abused. The plan was to break up those human warehouses and replace them with smaller, local treatment centers. But those replacements never really materialized. In some cases, patients were released from psychiatric hospitals directly onto the streets. This was called deinstitutionalization. A lot of people today see it as a botched attempt at reform. In Olympia, Anna saw its effects in the 80s.
You would see people on the streets of Olympia that appeared to be local examples of national policy of shutting down residential facilities that were draconian in how they treated inmates, basically. But they did provide housing of some sort. And it's one of those things of a balance. It's like, on one hand, personal liberty is very important, but personal safety and well-being is also important.
In the 80s, Anna moved out of Olympia's maintenance department and into a job with the city's housing program. As she tells it, she knew construction, plus she was good with people. She ended up inspecting houses and making recommendations for renovating them for low-income families. But almost out of the corner of her eye, she could see this pressure building in her city. Before the 80s, homelessness seemed to ebb and flow with the economy. During recessions, it got worse, and as the economy improved, homelessness receded again. But from the 80s on, it just seemed to linger and grow.
If you were paying attention, you realized that there would be people camping in parks or in woods or squatting in abandoned buildings where that had never happened before. If you weren't paying attention, you could have missed it, but it was a very slow change in the 80s. By the 90s, that started to pick up, and certainly by the 2000s, it really seemed to increase rather quickly.
By Anna's recollection, Olympia had 10 or 20 unsheltered people in the early 80s. By 2000, it seemed like 10 times that. Anna and some others in Olympia decided to do something.
We have to know who's homeless and why they're homeless. Let's do a census. Let's do a count. Let's ask people, what brought you to the street? What put you in the woods?
The first official count happened in 2006. Volunteers fanned out into shelters and camps. On one night, they found more than 400 people homeless in and around Olympia. Most of them were in a shelter or some kind of temporary home, but about a quarter were unsheltered, living outside. It was a snapshot of homelessness on one night, one point in time. That's what this method is called, the point in time count. There are problems with this method. All these variables, like the weather or the number of volunteers, can affect the results. A lot of people believe it undercounts the homeless population.
It seemed to me if we found 441 people that were homeless, there was at least, you know, half again as many, if not twice.
But it was the best data they had, and they kept counting one night each year.